This is a Defocus Media production.
Hey everybody, I'm your four-eyed professor, Chris Levens, and I'm super excited to talk to you today. Our roll call is for new and experienced ODs, optometry students, and even those just interested in this profession. We'll cover a number of topics together, and I'll help you see them through a professor's eyes. Please take your seats. School's in session. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on the podcast again today. I am delighted to have a guest on the pod today, Dr. Claudio Lagunas, who I think you're actually going to get some interesting perspective from as he's evolved into really his optometric career from the get-go all the way through to today. And may inspire you to do some more things in your career. Dr. Lagunas, Claudio, welcome, and thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks, Chris. I appreciate the opportunity and looking forward to it. Let's have some fun.
Awesome. Well, tell us, you know, I guess with the basics, really briefly, why optometry? And, you know, and anything interesting happened to you during your optometric school career? And then what led you to your first employed role as a full-time optometrist?
Sure. Well, briefly, I think my first interest in optometry was the first time I visited an optometrist. I think it was junior high, having some issues with my vision. And of course, being able to see was amazing to all of us. I think we're all familiar with that. In college, I went to college at UC Berkeley, go Bears, and I did an externship my junior year at the University of Maryland in the zoology department, and that's when I really decided I was torn. You know, I was deciding between dentistry and pre-med and optometry, and I had the opportunity to work a summer there in the zoology lab, and I decided, well, didn't want to be in a lab anymore, but one of the technicians there, her husband was an optometrist, and he was super excited about the profession. Got to spend a weekend with them on their at their house on the Chesapeake there, and had some great blue crab. And I said, "Well, this is something to think about here." So I came back from that with the mindset of, "Hey, I really need to check out optometry." Of course, going to Cal, we had a College of Optometry right there, and that was it. I was sold. From that point on, I said, "Hey, optometry is going to be my thing," and super excited I made that decision.
So I knew you were in Cal. I didn't realize you made a leap across the North America all the way to the East Coast of the University of Maryland. But those are my stomping grounds where I grew up. So I can, man, you give me a bushel of crabs and I'll be loving life.
Yeah, I didn't have that experience until that summer, but I was sold afterwards, that's for sure. it was a great time. It was a great summer. And the excitement that doctor had, I wish I could remember his name, you know, I'm horrible with names, but his excitement for the profession, how he spoke about the lifestyle and his profession really made me, you know, think twice about it. And I was sold. I said, you know what, optometry is going to be the thing for me. And then I went about figuring out where I was going to do that.
Yeah. And here you are. Well, so navigating the decision tree to go to optometry school. I mean, as you mentioned, you could have stayed at Berkeley. Where did you end up going, and how did that decision come to fruition?
Sure. Yeah. So Berkeley, I had done 4 years at Berkeley, and I love Berkeley. I grew up in California. So a little bit of the history, I think, is important in deciding where I went. My parents are both from Chile, South America. Mm-hmm. My father was actually studying in Puerto Rico, getting his master's degree. So I was born in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And about a year and a half, we moved to California, grew up in California, Davis, California, just north of the Bay Area and Berkeley there. But something stuck with me here when I was deciding about optometry schools. It was either going to be, you know, another 4 years at Cal, 4 years at SCCO, Southern California College of Optometry. Of course, us Northern California guys don't have, you know, too much.
That's right.
You know, there's a little bit of an issue there with Southern California, although I love it. And then Puerto Rico. And I actually, my grandfather used to tell me that someday I'd go back to Puerto Rico and be the governor there. So I'm not into politics, but I decided I love the beach. You know, my plan was to go back to Puerto Rico and not necessarily run for governor, but learn the profession of optometry, fine tune my Spanish skills, which didn't weren't quite where they needed to be when, you know, growing up in California. And the third goal was to find a beautiful wife. And I think I succeeded in all three of those. So
nice.
Pretty happy with my decision. Yeah.
Well done. Well, Claudio's leading us to an interesting point that he and I share, which is we both are husband and wife, two household of containing of optometrists, a couple ODs, which is actually relatively common and getting more common by the year. So now you have something that I know I had to think about. So you have a spouse and now you're in school, you're graduating from school. Now you're going into the workforce, but in some respect, you're looking for two jobs at once, not just one job at once. And that comes with this a little extra layer of challenge and difficulty. You know, what were you two thinking about at the time? You know, you're getting ready to graduate. What and how do you decide, well, what's next for us?
Sure. Yeah. So my wife and I, we were actually, she was a little younger than I was. So I actually graduated first. We had gotten married and we were having our first daughter. And when I graduated, I knew I didn't want to stay. I love Puerto Rico and love to visit there. And we have family there and we enjoy our trips back there. But the profession is a little behind there. You can't really practice your full scope in Puerto Rico. So I had convinced my wife that we were going to move back to the States. Mm-hmm. We had transferred back to California and she had actually received a transfer to the College of Optometry there at Cal. And we were having a baby at the same time. So my thought process was, you know, at least for another year or two, I'm going to be the only one making money, got to pay my student bill, my student loans, and take care of this family. So right. My thought process was, you know, I got to find a job. So this was late 90s, 97. And at the time in California, it was tough. It was difficult to find a position. I could find a day here, a day there. And I really wanted to just find a full-time gig where I could really hone my skills and, you know, really practice optometry. And one of my professors had actually moved from Puerto Rico the year before to the Dallas area in Texas. And he, you know, I gave him a call and it's great to have that networking, right? To be able to just call sure. somebody up wherever you're at. And I said, hey, how are things in Texas? And he said, boy, there's a lot of opportunities here. You should come down here and check it out. So on a student's budget, I flew down to Dallas and in a week's time, I got 7 job offers.
Are you serious? Wow.
Yeah, 7. And so I called my wife, you know, from the Motel 6 probably and said, hey, honey, we're moving to Texas, at least for a year. Let's try this out. She could get a year off sabbatical there from college and, you know, with the new baby and all that. And I said, let's try this out for a year. And if this doesn't work, we can always go back to California. So I accepted a position in a commercial practice in Houston, knowing that the College of Optometry was in Houston and that if things worked out, she could transfer there. And that's exactly what happened. I took that position. We moved to Houston, been here ever since. She graduated 2 years later at the University of Houston. And I was in that commercial practice for about 10 years. And then we both decided that, you know, we wanted our own private practice. And so we established that as well a few years after we got on board. But yeah, I was definitely looking for a two practice situation. You mentioned that earlier.
Yes.
You know, thinking she was going to graduate. I was working for a doctor that had multiple locations, you know, learning the business side of things as well. And with the plan in mind of, hey, I need to get two of these in a few years because my wife will be out and we'll each have one to manage and run and, you know, make a career of it.
All right. I want to flash back a bit. So because you really hit on something that's interesting and vitally important to a lot of people. And that is when it comes to trying to network and connect with people and find opportunity. So you're fortunate in that you had your previous contact who was in Dallas and it sounded like an opportunity that was a potential for you both. But on a student's budget, you fly yourself to Texas. But then what? Did you rely on some introductions? Did you just cold call people? Did you send them emails? How did you make the first connection to really open the door to even get one opportunity, let alone 7?
Right. Yeah. So he set me up with his the doctor that he was working with that also had multiple locations. And from that, it just kind of built. You know, that was the first connection. Then I just started calling around a couple of others in that area. And like I said, before you knew it, you know, I had 7 interviews lined up for that week. I think I was only there for 5 days. And I mean, it was all about the networking, you know, just asking, you know, once you graduate, we're all colleagues, right? And
right.
He was a great friend of mine during school. And, you know, we missed him when he left, but I had no issues just giving him a call and saying, hey, you know, how are things going over there? And is there opportunities? Do you think I'd be a good fit? And he said, yeah, come on down and we'll find something for you.
So, yeah, Claudio, I think that is a great take home. You know, like anything in life, networking, meeting people, being personable, being likable, who you know, that's usually the way things come out. I remember between my first year summer and my second year of school in optometry, I really had the summer off. And so I was like, well, let me get some experience. So that was really pre-internet days. And so I just opened the phone book and I sent a bunch of letters to a bunch of practices and I didn't get one response. So I don't know if cold calling in those days, cold hard mailing has worked for other people, but it definitely didn't work for me. I think taking the avenue of finding a human being connection to open the door, at least to have a discussion, could potentially lead to something positive.
Yeah, I can't agree more with that. And even to this day, you know, we all are connected by our phones and texts and whatnot, but you know, having that that personal connection somewhere can really open a lot of doors. So don't forget that when you're in your school or early on in your career, you know, establish those connections, I think is critical.
So what was the workload like, you know, at the first practice setting you were in? Were you working 5 days a week, 7 days a week, 2 days a week? And, you know, how was it going? How was it making the transition from graduating, but actually now hands in doing this for real?
Oh, it was tough. It was 6 days a week, 15-minute exams. You know, in school, I could take a 3-hour exam and coast a little bit, right? It was rough. It wasn't easy, but it was well worth the experience of learning how to manage patients and still do a great job in whatever setting you're in. But, you know, it was something that for sure I enjoyed. But at one point in time, we said, hey, I really want to do this on my own, maybe on my terms and my pace, my speed. I knew that wasn't it for me, at least forever. You know, that wasn't my forever job. But boy, did I learn a lot about business and efficiencies and managing people. I was managing all the staff. I was hiring and training staff. And I remember the first year I trained like 30 technicians and this doctor loved the way I trained him because he'd just, you know, I'd train him up for a month and then he'd move him to another location and I'd have to start all over again. So I said, hey, you gotta leave me one or two of these gems, right, that I've got. But I learned a lot. I learned a lot of things and I learned how I would want to run things when I had the opportunity to do so. And so that experience was really, really great. You know, I was grateful for that experience.
All right. So this is perfect because we're really at the meat at it now. The theme of this podcast and the take home, the best way I can rephrase it is pivoting in your career. I think a lot of people enter the workforce and not just optometry, but just in general, thinking that, well, my number one job has to be my forever job. And quite frankly, that oftentimes is not the case. But changing jobs and roles, and in your case, going down the small business direction, well, it's intimidating. It's scary. In some respect, it's very easy to get in your comfort zone and just kind of stall because it's just easy that way. But you actually, you know, you took a major risk. You have another optometrist in the household. You have a young family. You've now relocated to the middle of the country. And now you're thinking about, you know, getting out of your comfort zone, leaving the practice that you've been in, even though there are some desires there, which you mentioned. But now you're taking this on for yourself. And so I'm really curious what was going through yours and your wife's mind at the time. You know, was this scary? Did you really think you had it down? No worries, I'm going to be successful at this. You know, what were any early challenges that you went through and succeeded? What was it like?
Boy, yeah, it was, it's a scary time. You know, it was a scary decision to make. It was the right decision for us. And I think it's the right decision for a lot of people to take that first step. But that first step is really tough. We had two commercial practices at that point in time that were doing very well. But our dream was to have our own place, you know, run it our own way, our own philosophies, you know, the technology we wanted to bring in, how to differentiate, those types of things. We wanted to have our own show. So we started, you know, it's interesting. We reached out to a couple of our vendors that were, we considered friends and had really helped us in our practice there and said, hey, where are the areas that you would open up a practice if you, you know, were going to do this? And they're a bastion of information. Let me tell you, they're out there each and every day in your area. Mm-hmm. You know, they know what's going on, what's new. They're driving around. They see all the potential everywhere. And so I spoke to a couple of them, and a couple of them were saying, you know, a certain part of town was really where they would, you know, envision the practice. So we said, hey, that's it. We're going to take the leap of faith. And we opened up a private practice cold in late 2004, December of 2004. And here we are years later, and we've grown the practice to be very, very successful, in our opinion, even though we can still do better. And but we actually kept the commercial practices for about 10 years.
Ooh, wow.
We were running both. And then we actually had a second private practice that we got as well. So we actually, at one point in time, for about a 10-year period of time, we were running four practices.
Whoa.
Two commercial and two private. And I loved every minute of it. It's tiring, but we were very good at delegating. I would handle certain things. My wife would handle certain things. And that's really, you know, the key to our success was being able to kind of share, split the load and concentrate on certain things that we were good at or enjoyed doing. And that's really what made us successful. But yeah.
So did you have the opportunity to continue seeing patients in the commercial setting while your young burgeoning practice started to grow and blossom? Or did you just, you know, find a replacement for you seeing patients in the commercial setting and just jump all in to the private setting?
No. So I was actually, you know, we had this discussion with them. We were open with them and said, look, you know, our dream is to have a private practice. It won't compete. We were far enough away. We weren't competing, you know, location wise to where the commercial practices were located. And we were just upfront. A lot of people said, oh, don't say anything, just do your thing. And, you know, I just said, you know, that's just not my way of being. So I just told them upfront, look, my wife wants a private practice. It was nice. We could split it up, right? I had the commercial practice in my name, private in my wife's name initially. And, but I would help out but I was also still in charge and making sure that our associate doctors, and we had multiple doctors working with us at that point in time, but we made sure that we always had coverage, that the, every practice was successful, every practice continued to grow, and we continued to take care of them just like they were children, you know? So,
sure.
Yeah, we were lucky in that sense. And then, you know, 10 years went by and we started, you know, rethinking, pivoting again and saw how successful the private practices were. It was time for us to give that opportunity to somebody else. So we had two of our associates take over the commercial practices and just concentrate on the private practices. When I started doing a lot of the speaking and stuff like that with industry, and it was just the right time to kind of move on.
Anything you look at in your rearview mirror and might have done differently?
Oh, there's always thoughts as to what could have done, you know, what I could have done differently. Some days I wake up and I say, boy, I could have took on some more practices, and my wife then straightens me out and says, no, you know, we've got enough and we've got our hands full here. And, yeah, it's interesting. We're still looking at that today. So, you mentioned the husband and wife team of optometrists. Well, my oldest daughter is a second year at UHCO. And so she'll be joining the family here, hopefully in another year or two.
Oh yes. You know it. I was totally getting there.
So we're excited about that. So we're actually looking right now about, you know, some opportunities for maybe another practice as well. Kind of set that up. We'll see. And cross our fingers that she wants to join us, right?
Oh, yeah. I've definitely crossed my fingers for you. Well, you hit on something that I was going to go to next, and that is, it doesn't surprise me in the least that you are super adept at training ophthalmic techs and staff, because those of you who are listening today that have not heard Dr. Laguna speak, he is a phenomenal, captivating speaker. And I say those words purposely because it's not just about speaking content. Anybody can read a paragraph out of a book, but to make it impactful to the audience hearing so that they embrace the content and then hopefully apply the content later, I hear it often and I'm always impressed. So it doesn't surprise me that you had that penchant for talent, but now you had a little bit of a mini pivot too. You expanded your career in a sense by taking your teaching skills and now offering to work with our industry partners in that venture. So how did that come to fruition?
Yeah, so that came about with you know, some of the companies that we had great partnerships with in our private practice saw that we were doing things a little differently, and we seemed to be on the cutting edge when it comes to adapting to technology and in the contact lens field, for example, really early adapters into a lot of this new technology that comes out. And, you know, I think that that's a philosophy that, hey, if, you know, if you really think something is better for our patients, it's our job to offer it to them. And really they come to us for, they trust us and they expect us to be on the cutting edge. And so anyway, we were doing a really good job adapting to new technology as it was coming out. And one of the reps said, hey, have you ever considered, you know, sharing that and sharing your best practices with others? And I said, sure. And so we did a couple of local meetings. He set up a couple of local meetings where I would facilitate discussions and just share best practices of what we were doing in our practice, you know, with new materials and new technologies. And I guess it went pretty well because one thing led to another, and they asked me to become a consultant for the company. Mm-hmm. And then I started lecturing, and you know how that goes, right? One thing leads to another. And absolutely, you just network and you meet people from all across the country, and you just start doing a little more each time if it interests you.
So your daughter, I'm just going to say, is going to be coming on because I'm an optimist. But beyond that, now look in your telescope. You know, what do you see short term, next year or two, three wise, and maybe what's going to come for you maybe 10 years? What's on your horizon?
Yeah, so I would say short term, look, I think, Chris, we've been looking to expand our main practice for a few years now, been a little mm-hmm. landlocked, and we're a little smaller than we'd like to be. And we think that our growth is being stunted by just the size of our facility. So we are actually, you know, directly working with some folks and hopefully finding some land or a building that we could expand and grow our practice, our existing practice. Always looking at opportunities to maybe purchase or open up another practice. So yeah, a couple of years out, I expect to have at least two practices, maybe three, who knows, right? If we have three doctors in the family, I think we could handle that and kind of keep growing. I think there's great opportunities out there for a lot of us. And I know I hear so I'm a vision source administrator. I do hear this from a lot of our members and how hard it is and competition and whatnot. But you know what? I truly believe that there's enough out there for all of us to be very successful. So yeah, that's my plan short term, the next couple of years, and, you know, draw this out for another 10, 15 years tops. Mm-hmm. And then it's time to probably hand the keys over to the next generation.
I hear you. Yeah. I love it. So, you know, I went from a theme of pivoting your career and, you know, not being scared to do so. But I think that you've really given us some life testaments, which is, you know, don't get stuck in a rut. Don't just be comfortable. Think about doing tomorrow better than today. And what can you do different? What can you do better? So kind of like lifelong learning that never stops. Well, don't stop the career progression either. Just keep advancing, keep doing more. It just keeps life interesting. It keeps optometry interesting. And you can really do some really cool things that maybe you never thought you could.
Yeah, completely agree. If you're not growing, you're dying, right? So keep growing, keep learning. Opportunities abound, and just got to go out there and find the right one for you.
Awesome. Well, we are wrapping it up on the podcast today. Dr. Lagunas, Claudio, any last words of wisdom before we wrap up?
I'd say one thing that I do evangelize to a lot of young ODs and in the colleges and as they're starting their career, you know, nowadays it is very competitive, but you got to have some partners with you along the way. So I'm a big proponent of finding a doctor's alliance that fits to your philosophy. And mm-hmm. I've been a member of just about everyone out there, to be honest with you. So I found the right group for me, but mm-hmm. it took me a while. But, you know, in today's, you know, world, it's really tough to do it completely on your own. I'd really recommend you look into finding a group that matches, you know, where you're at in your career and leaning on them and networking with them. I think it's much easier if you're surrounded by like-minded people and somebody who's done it before and you can bounce ideas off of. So networking, that comes down to networking once again. Find the right network and you'll be successful.
I love it. And I could not agree more. It's a great sage wisdom. Well, thank you again, Claudio, for being on. I would love to have you on again in the future, if you don't mind. And thanks, everybody, for listening to the podcast today.
Be my pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
Classes ended for today, and we have no exams or grades approaching. Please email me at foureyedprofessor@gmail.com if there are topics that you would like to hear and see through a professor's eyes.